Yates, Tim Palaszczuk, Emily Kaplan, Frank Isola. This Kansas team, what was it about them that they could turn a switch? They look like they've never basketballed before to be the most dominant team, the biggest comeback in national championship history, and because every comeback needs an opposite side, North Carolina. And that floorboard, what's up with that? Let's go.
It's a shadow.
You can't have that. -25 at halftime. It's not just the comeback. It's the speed of the comeback. Brown knifing to the hoop. Remy Martin's threes. It was gone in 9 minutes. And then the final 2 minutes. Armando Bacot ankle giving away again while the floorboard popped. Look at that. What is this, I say again? UNC had three ankle turns in this game and vomit in this game. And they were already a team without a bench. And with Bacot out, those David McCormack hooks, Kansas's inconceivable turnover game. North Carolina one last shot, but destiny blinked and love was short. Frank Isola, when you think about this title game, will it be about halftime adjustments, a comeback, or UNC just being gassed and hurt and unable to close it out?
Yeah, it's certainly all of it, but you mentioned it, Tony, the quickness in which they got back into this game. You know, they're down 15 at the break, and usually we've seen this before. Teams make a comeback. It might take 15 minutes, 18 minutes, and then when they finally get there mentally, physically exhausted, they outscored North Carolina 31-10 in the first 10 minutes of the second half. So they were right back in it quickly, and then it was just nip and tuck down the stretch. Give Kansas all the credit in the world for that comeback.
Emily Kaplan, bring you in here.
It's like we forgot that North Carolina plays with only six players. Of course they were going to be gassed at the end of this game, and they were. I mean, they could barely make a shot. They missed all seven three-pointers from the right side of the court. They also were out-muscled to begin that second half, outscored 20-8 in the paint. But you mentioned it, Tony. Three guys battling ankle injuries. A dude puke and rallying. I've seen puke and rally in college. I've never seen it in the college basketball level. That was quite impressive. Yeah. At the end, it was just Kansas that had more stamina and a last energy push to win it out.
Tim Palaszczuk, you view this as the greatest comeback in championship game history, or did UNC just run out of gas?
UNC helped them a little bit, and I want to say this right, because I think Hubert Davis had a great run, and his enthusiasm is obviously infectious with that team. But against Baylor in the second half and last night, I thought his inexperience showed a little bit. He couldn't get his players out of trouble. Maybe they just didn't have enough players, as you said. But at halftime, they showed Kansas 6-for-21 in the paint. Okay, they're getting all the shots they want in the paint, and some of those are going to start going in. They're not going to keep missing layups all night long.
And Clinton Yates, when you think back to the second half specifically, do you think there was a timeout or two Hubert Davis needed to call, or was Kansas just going to go on these runs? Because that's what they've done in the previous games as well.
I think Tim had it right. They just simply started making more shots in the second half. And you can say that it's adjustments here and there, but the bottom line is, make or miss scenario, they did it. 14-for-25 on contested shots in the second half. Comparatively, North Carolina was 5-for-31 on contested shots. When you're putting the ball in the basket, it's a whole lot easier to come back. I'd like to give Kansas a lot of credit for that.
A secondary question here about the end of the game. Armando Bacot's ankle, it was already weak. For him to go down like that, on a floorboard, you saw it pop up, Emily Kaplan. Is the game different if Bacot stays in the game the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, of course it is. It's different if all of their guys weren't battling injuries, but that's what you have to do. And I don't know if it's necessarily just the floorboard. It seems like they were just exhausted and their ankles were going left, right, and again, puke and rallying. Mm-hmm.
Frank Isola, do you view that as something that was because the NCAAs have expanded to football stadiums and they have a removable floor?
Yeah.
Or do you view it as something that was just a freak accident?
Well, naturally, the floor is going to give a little bit. It does that. And if you go to an NBA floor, that's the way it is. But that's elevated. A couple of things from this game, though, when you mention injuries. You know, Brady Manek, he took two shots in the head. Was he in concussion protocol? It didn't seem like he was tested for something like that. But on that play that you talk about with Bacot, and that's why, for me, David McCormack should have been the most outstanding player. He dominated Villanova. And then when they were down, he got the offensive rebound, the putback over two players. And with Bacot out, he's the one that hit the game-winning shot. To me, he made the two biggest offensive plays of the night. And that includes Remy Martin, by the way, going 4-for-4 in
all
the
right,
second
half. All right, so Isola says McCormack for most outstanding player. Palaszczuk, were you with Agbaji in the vote, or would you vote for Martin or Brown in this game or McCormack?
You know, it's tough. I would probably lean toward go with Frank Ochai was good early, not great late. Remy Martin was great in the second half, didn't do much in the first half. Christian Brown was getting all his shots blocked in the first half. Then he took control in the second half, so they really had, you know, a smorgasbord of
But candidates. That's what this team has been all year. This is a smorgasbord type of Kansas team. Their tournament run, if we could just take a look at what they did to get this fourth title in school history. They beat a 16, they beat a 9, they beat a 4, they beat a 10, a 2, and an 8 in the title game. Bill Self himself said that the 2020 Kansas team that never got to prove itself in the tournament was better. And as far as this tournament, Clinton Yates, of course you remember the title game, but you'll remember UNC Duke, maybe you'll remember St. Peter's run most through this tournament as well. So how will you remember this Kansas team, Clinton Yates?
I think I'll remember this Kansas team as the residue of that 2020 team that didn't get their due. I think about Dawn Staley and what happened with South Carolina as well in terms of like those squads that were just right there but never really got to put the whole thing through. The three of those guys on this team were on that team. I think that it was a great run. I'm probably not going to remember this if people start asking me about different winners, but the St. Pete story was great, and obviously the game of our lives happened as well.
Tim Kalishaw.
I'll remember that experience still counts, not just with the coaching edge, but with all the seniors Kansas threw out there. Remy Martin had a whole career in the Pac-12, came over and played for Kansas. Mitch Lightfoot's in his sixth year, and I think all that paid off against Carolina, which had some young players struggling in the spotlight last night.
But if I had to put you to the test here, Kalishaw, the one thing you'll remember from this tournament, is it that Kansas won it all? Is it that UNC beat Duke in the Final Four? Could it be St. Peter's?
It'd be the Carolina-Duke game. It was a classic game. It was a game, whoever won, it was the kind of game you wanted to see coming down the stretch. That was the biggest night of the tournament.
Lee Kaplan?
Yeah, just building off of what Clinton said, I see so many parallels between this Kansas team and the South Carolina women, who, let's remember, were a wagon in 2020, 32-1, 16-0, and then see their postseason canceled. Same with Kansas, who then got disappointed, 34-point blowout in the second round last year. And there's just something about the pandemic in general where we had to cope with things lost and having to overcome that. And it was a challenge for a lot of people, but the strong programs were able to withstand their way through. And how I'll remember this, well, 10 years from now, I think we're going to be looking at this as an inflection point for Bill Self. It's either the year before Kansas got slammed by sanctions or the year that he overtook Coach K as the face of college basketball.
I want to expand on that in a second. But, Frank, will you remember this tournament more for Kansas championship or North Carolina over Duke?
Oh, come on. We're all going to remember it because of St. Peter's, and it's going to be harder to remember them because they're already gone. The head coach is gone. Players are transferring from St. Peter's, the great run that they went on. But I think for North Carolina, I think their year is going to stick out the most. You know, they weren't ranked for much of the season, but what they did to Duke, you know, winning Coach K's last game at Cameron and then obviously knocking him out in his last ever game, that's like a different level. And I think for Hubert Davis, too bad for him. I covered him a million years ago when he played for the Knicks. It's too bad that they couldn't finish it, but I think what North Carolina did, unfortunately for Kansas, might be remembered even more.
All right, don't make this about the Knicks, first and foremost. But the rise of Hubert Davis, yes, in his first year as head coach, that is going to be a story. I mean, he's also morphing into Doc Rivers a little bit with his voice, which is an incredible turn of events as well. All right, Emily Kaplan, you alluded to it. One more story here. College Hoops had a moment last night with NCAA President Mark Emmert handing the trophy to Bill Self while an infractions case goes on and on and on. 5 level 1 violations alleged against Kansas and Self still on the table. School and Self reject the claims. It came from an FBI case into corruption and bribery and Adidas alleging to pay recruits. Huge deal. That's about payment. That's about one and done culture. This Kansas team, not that, as Kalishaw said earlier, there's a lot of seniors and sixth-year players. Name, image, and likeness has also changed the way people feel about that, and transfer portal as well. So, Clinton, I say all that in addition to the comfort and discomfort maybe at the podium last night. How do you view the place college basketball is in today?
I think it's in a good place because this is the reckoning we needed in terms of going from what people thought was a good system that was helpful for everybody to what actually is a more free and open market setup that is more akin to what we do in America. The fact that nobody even remembers this Bill Self stuff because 2017 feels like it was forever ago, to me, is fine because I'll tell you, most actual basketball fans don't particularly care about recruiting violations. Ask LSU, who booted their coach right before the tournament started. We are in a more realistic place with what college basketball could and should be as far as how it helps the student athletes become professionals either in sports or elsewhere. The fact that we're actually talking about it on the main stage, I think is a good thing, and not everybody is clutching their pearls like, I cannot believe that somebody gave somebody some money to actually play a sport. Come on.
Very laissez-faire from Clinton Yates, Tim Kalishaw, on the discomfort at the podium yesterday, but also the idea maybe Kansas, maybe the NCAA is going to come down on Kansas any minute now.
I think Kansas fans, I'm mostly with Clinton, Kansas fans are going to gladly trade a title for a year of probation or whatever they get, and those sanctions are going to seem so outdated with players getting six-figure salaries, essentially, through their NIL deals all over the country. That, and this FBI case was already 3 or 4 years old, that they're going to say, okay, so we sit out a year. We'll take the title. As far as the place college basketball, the game is good. It could be a lot better if they do more about the officiating and the incredibly physical play that they allow to happen. And that's why we get 54 to 41 scores in the NCAA tournament.
What are you saying? Get rid of the block charge and the just infighting underneath the hoop?
The idea of letting players play has gone the wrong way. It's basically let them play rugby, and they need to stop that.
Emily Kaplan.
No, just in general, I think that college basketball is in a really good place. You know, you mentioned like the transfer portal and the one and done. I think we're done with seeing one and done champions. Now it's the teams that have the most leadership, the most experience that win out. And, you know, Frank talked about St. Peter's. Like years ago, we would have been like, wow, how unfair is this? Their coach leads them this far and then gets to leave them for better opportunity in green pastures. Well, now three of his players can leave him for green pastures, yeah, too. So I do think that the transfer portal has created more opportunities, more excitement, and it's just good for the game. It keeps players in the sport longer.
And Frank Isola.
Come on, we all get into this tournament during the month of March. Even the most casual fans love it. There's nothing wrong with the sport. Yeah, Kansas could get in trouble, but guess what? Louisville got in trouble. So what are you trying to say? They vacated their championship. That means that those players didn't win the game. That means they weren't celebrating. That means their fans weren't in the arena that night. You're never going to take away those memories. And to Clinton's point, you know, come on. Everyone on some level, it doesn't make it right, is cheating on some small level. So you're going to identify one school, go knock yourself out. I don't think most fans really care.
That'll be the last word. Around the horn, bracket challenges won by nobody here. Kevin Blackstone and Harry Lyles Jr. took it for our panel, but they were the 98th percentile, 97%. Who cares about them? We need to celebrate our champions. Every year we search for the name and the contact of people who won our brackets. This year, listen to the name in the men's. ESPN fan 597-0849269. That's
the bot.
Who won it. All right. Women's bracket, Jake Collier. I'll give you guys both the points when you come and appear on our show.
Burner.
It was actually me. That was actually me.
Buyer sells deck.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O.com, promo code HORN.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Tiger Woods this afternoon at Augusta National.
As of right now, I feel like I am going to play. As of right now.
The question is simple. Do you think you can win the Masters this week?
I do.
Wow. How we got here from where we were week ago and, of course, 14 months ago after the near fatal car accident. We've seen the images from his practice round all week. Look at this. We've heard people say he looks phenomenal, but him saying he thinks he can win, Tim Kallister, how are you hearing that?
You know, I was there in Augusta in 2019, and I don't think I thought he could win until Sunday, so I was a little late coming to that one. I don't think he can win. Can he make the cut? That in itself would be remarkable. It's not just the walking, it's the short game. It's all the things that he hasn't been able to work on at that level. That would be incredible.
Emily Kaplan, how do you hear Tiger Woods?
I hear him as the same Tiger there ever was, just supremely confident in himself. And look, there's been no more influential person in the sport of golf ever, and that's why you hear all the gushing. They're just excited to be there. And the truth is, he makes the tournament more exciting. DraftKings already said he is the most bet golfer for making the cut, missing the cut, top five finish, winning the entire tournament. No one moves the needle like him.
So you're saying people are excited. Okay, I hear that. But Frank, you know Tiger Woods as well as anybody on this panel, the idea that he only plays to win. Some thought he would play this week just to play. But now you're not hearing that from him.
And that's the thing, what you love about these high-end athletes, whether it's guys like Tom Brady or LeBron James. So, yeah, they love the sport. They love to compete for the fans. But they're doing it to win. He's there, and he believes that he can win it. That's what separates him a lot of times. And how about the fact that the guy was in a life-threatening car accident? How great does he look? And you can tell he has a greater appreciation also for what he's doing right now. I agree with Tim. I don't know if he can do it, but it's still a pretty remarkable story.
But yes.
You know, the question was simple, but the answer is very complex. Do I believe Tiger thinks he can win? Yes. Do I believe everybody else kind of maybe thinks Tiger has an outside shot? Yes. But in reality, this is what Tiger has to say in order to be out there at all. I'm just glad to see him moving around with his family and actually happy to do something, which is
beautiful. He could have said, you know, I've experienced things in the last year and a half that, you know, make me value just being out there, just playing. But no, he said, I think I can win. Who you got, Tim Kallister, on the Masters tournament?
Who do I have this week? I have Xander Schauffele winning the tournament.
Anybody going to say Tiger? Kaplan? He's the most bet.
He's exciting. I like Justin Thomas.
Frank Isola?
Justin Thomas.
Lynn Yates?
Everything you said does mean I think I can win for Tiger. That's what it all wraps up to.
That was not a pick. We're moving on. Buy or sell two. Major League Baseball allowing pitchers, catchers, and three fielders to use anti-sign stealing technology this season. What does this even mean, Clinton Yates? Yeah, this is not even
Don't
just...
Don't ask me.
Not asking for an opinion yet. I'm asking you to explain it to me. PitchCom is what they're calling it, a pad with buttons on the wrist of the gloved hand of the catcher, which signals pitch type and location to the pitcher who hears it in a listening device? Are we really going forward with this? Some of the pitchers, like Luis Severino, say they like it. Go ahead, Clinton.
I can't stand it for one reason. It eliminates the whole point, which is the visual acuity between the battery. If you have that, you're not going to be as good at it from an infield standpoint. And I get it. You want to reinvent the wheel in order to prevent people from stealing signs through via video. Well, then eliminate the video. Don't eliminate the system that people have been using forever. If you have bad signals that are getting picked up on, change your signs. That's the whole point of being good at baseball. This is ridiculous.
Okay, so yes, this is about sign stealing, and they want technology to stop technology from stealing signs. I understand that, Clinton, but logistically, how does a pitcher shake off the catcher then?
Don't ask me. Don't ask me what you're doing if you're playing up the middle and you're trying to figure out what's going on with the catcher who's either using his forefinger or his thumb, which might screw things up forever. This is really
challenging
overall.
Where do you come down on this PitchCom technology?
What happens when the catcher hits the wrong button when he's looking over there? I just think, I don't know. I don't want to come across as the old man of this show. I just know Whitey Ford and Yogi Berra managed to do this communication without needing to go to the wrist and to go to the earpieces.
Emily, are you going to say to Kallister, get off my field turf? Do you think this could work?
Holy
no, I'm sorry. I'll get off all of your guys' lawns. All we talk about with baseball is how can we move it forward? How can we adapt? They figured out a way to incorporate technology to eradicate cheating. When we also talk about baseball, how do we make it faster? This apparently is making it faster. It's getting rave reviews from the players that's trying it. I don't see the issue with it.
And Frank Isola.
I don't want to come across as the second oldest guy on this panel, barely. But there's something to be said for the manager looking at the catcher, doing this, and then the catcher looking at the pitcher. This is technology gone way too far. I hate it.
But you read Buster Olney's piece today. Pitchers are glowing. The pitchers like it.
It's not about the pitchers. It's about us.
You would say that, Frank. Clinton Yates loved the look today, but you're going to take it first. Row seat for Tim Kalischuk, Emily Kaplan, and I think I saw it on the screen right there. Ted Matthews coming up in showdown.
Ooh. Talking NHL. Hockey guys, gonna talk it out, Tim.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mr. Matthews, Austin Matthews, 54 goals this season. Not in one game, that would be a record, Kenny Mainline. But the Hattie last night, there's 13 games left, he's got a shot at 65. Emily, is Austin Matthews a lock for the Hart Trophy?
He'll probably win it because what he's doing right now is absurd. In his last 13 games, he scored goals in 12 of them, but he's not a lock. There's a lot of deserving guys, and my pick's actually Igor Shesterkin because the Rangers aren't even sniffing the playoffs without their goalie.
Tim Kalischuk?
I think he's got a great shot at it, depending on where they finished. And last night's win over Tampa Bay was big. If they get the home ice and at least get to second in that division. And if he gets to 60, there's a magic about getting to 60. If he slows down, comes in at 57, the scores ahead of him may beat him out. Connor McDavid.
Tim, when you saw that it was Austin Matthews in NHL and Showdown versus Emily, what were you thinking? Wow, can we get a Big 12 story in here? Can we talk about the Big 12? Point, Kaplan. We'll move on. Showdown 2, the first ever mic'd ump explanation.
After review, the call is confirmed. The batter was hit by the pitch. The Los Angeles Angels lose their challenge.
So more technology in baseball. Is miking umps necessary? Is it going to work? Do we like this, Tim?
This I like. This part of technology is good. We've seen in the NHL, the NFL. Now, I'm going to see when umpires get their calls overturned and the look of disgust on their face and the sound of their voice then when things are getting changed. But it's a good idea.
Yep.
It's a great idea, and I honestly think it should be more like hockey because if he really wanted to do this, he needs to channel his inner Wes Macaulay and say, Los Angeles, blew their timeout. Whatever he said, he would have made it more dramatic.
Kaplan, today's showdown winner.
Jay Beagle beat up some Anaheim Ducks players at the end of Friday's game, and Coyotes announcer Tyson Nash said, if you want to skill it up, get ready to get punched in the face. This is wrong for two reasons. One, that's not why Jay Beagle actually fought them. It's because they were poking his goalie while up 5-0 late. Two, this is a dinosaur take. If you go across ranks in North America, you'll see little kids trying to Michigan, going home watching hours of YouTube skill videos. This is where the game is going. It's faster, more creative, more skilled than ever. You either need to adapt or get left behind. But trust me, violence is not the answer.
A dinosaur take. But specifically, what dinosaur? Stegosaurus? Is it
T-Rex? It was a good dinosaur.
Wow, since they walked the earth.
You know, like since I'm reading to Enzo every night about dinosaurs, do you know T-Rex is closer to snacking on us than on Stegosaurus? Stego goes back hundreds of millions of years. T-Rex, 66 million years. Closer to snacking on us than Stego. All right, that's it.
Great kids.